Amen. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is one most amazing passage of Scripture, and one which I hope and pray stirs your hearts and minds as it has mine, just studying out these wonderful truths, because it makes an amazing statement here, which should be a reality for all true believers. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, behold, survey, look closely, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because God has given or shown unto us so much love, because God has called us the sons of God, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have great need of Thy Holy Spirit to teach us this morning these most valuable and precious truths. May You write them upon our hearts and our minds. Lord, may they change our hearts, our attitudes. Lord, may they change who we are. May we, Father, be, Father, conformed to these truths, that we might learn to appreciate them and adore You and worship You as we ought. We pray, Father, You would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. Speak to us this morning, we pray. For we ask these things in the most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, because we are called the sons of God, the world knoweth us not. It doesn't perceive us. It doesn't understand us. It doesn't apprehend us. That's what knowing means. The world knoweth us not because... Listen, this is why the world don't know us. Because it knew Him not. You know, one of the greatest evils of the fall of man is the ignorance and alienation from God. Do you know that? That's one of the greatest evils from the fall of man, is the ignorance and alienation from God. When Adam ate the fruit and fell into sin, the Bible says God was in the garden and says, "Where art thou?" unto Adam. And Adam replied, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. I heard your voice, and it didn't bring me any comfort. It didn't bring me any satisfaction as before. And I hid myself because I'm ashamed of who I am." The voice which once had been Adam's greatest delight and joy had now, because of sin, become his greatest fear. Adam used to walk with God and fellowship with God until he fell into sin. And ignorance and blindness and alienation stepped in. Sin had separated him from God. He died spiritually. So now he has no understanding of God. He has no understanding of who God is. He fears God now rather than enjoys Him. He hides from Him rather than embrace Him. One of the greatest evils of the fall was ignorance and alienation from God. The divine presence, which once was so enjoyable and pleasant and something he greatly delighted in, had now become something he sought to hide from. "I hid myself from thee because I'm afraid and ashamed." Adam's sin had now alienated him from all the joys and pleasures he once had with God and blinded him to all things concerning God. He is now spiritually dead. He knows not God. Beloved, this terrible evil of alienation and ignorance of God has been passed down unto all Adam's descendants by nature. We're all born alienated from God. We're all born at enmity with God. We're all born sinners by nature. That's why Romans gives that detailed description. There is none that understandeth. Understandeth what? Understandeth God. There's none. Because of the fall, he's blind and ignorant and alienated. There's none that understandeth, Paul said in Romans 3. There is none that seeketh after God. Like Adam, we seek to hide ourselves. Alienation and ignorance of God is inbred into our nature through Adam, and it's only by the new birth that such sinful alienation and ignorance can be removed. Only by the new birth, being brought into the family of God, can we now know God. Outside of the new birth, outside of regeneration, there's no fellowship with God. Man just don't know how far he's fallen. Man just don't know how far sin has brought him. Yet as believers, we should. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's a wonderful statement. Now you break that down, it's even better. What manner of love? How God exposed it, revealed it, we saw last week. What manner of love? It's not hatred, but manner of love. The Father, the writer calls him Father, not God. There's a parental relationship here. There's an intimate relationship here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Who's the us but sinners? Undeserving. That we should be called the sons of God. What a great statement. Yet because we're called the sons of God, the world knoweth us not. Because it knew him not. Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to read this with me. I was contemplating just reading a few verses, but I want to read the whole context so you can see that. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice in verse 1 he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive." We're now alive. But look in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to the wording here. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Referring to the Jews calling us uncircumcised. "That at that time you were," listen to this, "and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise." Nothing was promised to the Gentiles in the Old Testament. We were aliens, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our condition. "But now in Christ," you see the radical change? The radical transformation. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now watch this. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God." Remember what you were before, without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you're fellow citizens of the saints and of the household or family of God. There's been a radical transformation. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." You notice how the writer in 1 John 3 says it's not a certain form of beliefs or a denomination that makes you different or makes the world ignorant of you. It's the fact that you're a child of God and that they knew not Him. You see, we've been brought in such a relationship with God as believers that now the world don't know us because it didn't know Him. Because we're the sons of God. We belong to God. It's not a certain doctrinal standing or statement or belief. It's not a certain denomination. It's because the world knew not God. And because we are now sons of God, the world don't know us. They don't comprehend us. They don't apprehend us. They don't perceive us. We're different. Over in John chapter 15. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. John chapter 15 in verse 19. Verse 19. The Lord says here, it says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If you were of the world, they would love you. They would understand you. They would perceive you. They would apprehend you. They would know you. But because you're not of the world, I've taken you out of the world spiritually. You're now a part of the family of God. Because of that, they hate you. You notice how he says, if you're of the world, they love you. But if you're not, you're hated. It's like two extreme opposites. He doesn't say the world won't like you, or the world is not going to be comfortable with you. He said the world will either love you or hate you. You can't have both. We'll be seeing that in a few minutes. But you can't have both. Either the world loves you or it hates you. Then why does the churches in America seem to seek the acceptance of the world so highly? They want the world to accept them. It's not what the Lord said. Look in verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, watch this, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Now watch this. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. Sounds like the same language. They're going to do that because they don't know him who sent me. They don't know God. They don't understand. They don't perceive God. That's why they hate you. Remember John chapter 7. I want you to see something the Lord said himself. This really clears it up tremendously. John chapter 7 in verse 25. Now watch this. John 7, 25. Listen to the Lord. Then said John 7, Gospel of John chapter 7. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. In other words, we know Christ, Jesus Christ, he's the carpenter's son. They're talking to him physically. We know he came from Joseph. He's a carpenter's son. Watch this. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am. You know I'm Joseph's son in the flesh. You know I'm a carpenter. You know my mother Mary. You know me, both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. Oh, whom you know not. Look at that. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Christ is saying, you know who I am. You know I'm born of Mary and Joseph in the flesh. You know I'm a carpenter's son. Your problem is not knowing me in the flesh as somebody born here. Your problem is you don't know God who sent me. You don't know him. That's the greatest evil of the fall of man, is that ignorance and alienation from God.
Remember we said it last week when the rich man of Lazarus was in he was in hell and he was in paradise and he wanted some relief. And Abraham said, beside all this, I can't bring you water. I can't even bring you a drop. And beside all that, on top of all that, there's a great gulf fixed between you and I. Great gulf. There's a great gulf. I can't come to you because there's a gulf. There's a span fixed. Nobody can make that span. Nobody can breach that span. Nobody can fill that span except Christ. That's how big a span it is. That's how big a gulf it is. If Christ doesn't bridge that span, if Christ is not the one that, they will never know God. Thomas said to the Lord in John 14, he said, show us the Father, it suffices us. The Lord said, John, he said, I've been with you so long that you know me not. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. The greatest problem you have is they don't know you. The world knoweth us not because of a set of beliefs, but because we are not of this world, but of God by the new birth. And the world knoweth not him. Let me ask you a question in the light of all that. Does the world accept you and I? They comprehend us. They understand us. Do we fit into the same mold they do? Do we love the same things they do? Do we do the same things they do? Or are we different by nature? Are we simply different? No matter how long I lived in Germany, and I lived there for 35 years, and I got to learn the slang, I got to learn the language, no matter what happened, if I talked to a German long enough, and I knew it pretty good, my daughter might say something else, but I knew it pretty good. But it didn't matter what happened. If I talked long enough to a real German, they'd go, you're not from around here, are you? They knew I was different. I talked different. I was different. The world don't understand us. So why are we trying so hard to get their acceptance? Why are churches making so much effort to be pleasing and acceptable to the world? Well, this is 2018. We can't do the same things they always did. We can't preach from this old book anymore. It's out of date. It doesn't fit in. When did God ever want to fit in? Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Not because of what we profess to be. Not because of what church we go to. The world doesn't know us because it didn't know God, who is our Father. Remember when they were talking to Peter and them in Acts? And they were trying to find out who they were. And one of the ladies popped up and said, well, actually, I take that back. It's when Peter denied the Lord. And one of them popped up and asked Peter, says, I know that your language betrayeth you. The way you talk, you sound like a disciple of Christ. And in the book of Acts, when they were talking, somebody said, these disciples talk just like he did. You know where we got our name Christian? It was in Antioch. And it was from the heathens, the Gentiles, not Christians. The lost people looked at Christians and said, they're trying to be little Christ. That's what Christians mean, little Christ. So the lost people gave us that name, Christian, because we were trying to live like Christ. You know why the world hates us? Because we're trying to live like Christ and they don't know him. They can't comprehend him. They can't perceive him. Why do you believe the things you believe? Why do you do the things that you do? Why are you so different? Because I'm a child of God. So many Christians today have learned so well to put their profession of faith in the closet when it gets to be uncomfortable and disturbing. I'll just put it in the closet for now. I don't want to look different. I don't want to be different. I don't want to appear different. Did the Lord say, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father? This isn't something here in 1 John. This isn't something that we do. It's something that comes spiritually normal. It's natural. You're the sons of God. You're called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth you not. It's a fact. It's not some remedy. It's not something you have to do. We'll find out what we do in verse 2 next week. If we know this to be true, we're now the sons of God. We don't perceive what we're going to be. But if we have this hope in us, we sanctify, we cleanse ourselves. There's a sanctification process. But right now in verse 1, it's a fact. It's a reality. If you're a son of God, if you're a child of God, the world doesn't know you because you're just simply different. You're different. You remember when you got saved? I do. Folks started looking at me saying, what happened to you, man? You're just different. You're not the same anymore. Many so-called churches and professing believers give great diligence to be accepted and received by the world. Yet, if God and His truths are truly upheld in their midst, the world would not know them. Which tells me if the churches are seeking so much to be accepted by the world, then God's not in the midst of them, because you can't have either one of them. You can't have both of them, I mean. You've got to have one or the other. Look over to 1 John chapter 2. Let me wind this thing down for you here for today. I want to look at verse 2 next week because it's really good. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We all are familiar with this verse. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 15. Love not the world. 1 John 2, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The pleasures, the things they like. Don't love those things. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's a fact. It's a reality. You love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Does that mean that we have to abstain ourselves, be like monks and run up in the mountains and hide ourselves in a monastery? Of course not. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. No, we're here for a purpose. We're lights and we're salt. We're different, but that's a good thing. Maybe that's why there's a lot of people not even coming to Christ or being drawn to Christ, because the church, you don't see the difference anymore between church and Christians in the world. They all look the same. So why should they have to get up on Sunday on a day off to come to church? Well, they live the same way I do. They do the same things I do. I had a lady ask me last week. She's got some problems and her salvation is doubtful. I'm not judging or criticizing. I'm just simply saying the fruits are not very visible there. In fact, they're not at all there. But she's trying to ask me about prayer. She's in trouble, needs God. Most people, when they're in trouble, they want God. And she's trying to ask me about prayer. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it to her, but I thought to myself, you're asking me about something that's so intimate, I could never, ever explain to you the nature and life of prayer if you're not part of Christ. Because everything you say is not going to do anything good for you. You said they shouldn't pray? I didn't say that. But if they don't have a relationship with God, if they know not God, if they apprehend God not, if they know Him not, how are they going to talk to Him? How are they going to speak to Him? It's like defining to somebody how a banana tastes. Tell somebody how a banana tastes. Like a banana. I've never had one. What's it taste like? They wouldn't know. If you have tasted that the Lord is precious. You see, in Christianity, in salvation, it's a personal relationship with God that makes the difference. I know my sheep and they know me. They hear my voice and they follow me. Other sheep I have which shall follow me. You don't believe in me, he said to the Pharisees, because you don't know me. You don't know who I am. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. They can't comprehend us. They can't apprehend us. They can't perceive us. They don't have an understanding of why we do what we do, why we live the way we do. Why? Because they don't know Him. And the life we're living by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and died for us. Galatians chapter 2. We're different. We should be different in the way that we live. You notice, it's nothing that we do. We don't put a big sign on us and say, I'm a Christian and I believe in this. We don't walk around saying, I'm a Baptist. And no, we don't. It's our lifestyle. It's the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we carry ourselves, our enjoyments, what we like, what we love to do. Those things show the world they don't know us because they don't know God. What's the application of that? Look in chapter 3 of 1 John. I'm not going to go there today, but I want us to just get a foretaste of this next week. Look at this. Therefore, latter part of verse 1, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, I like that word. John uses a lot. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's not a future thing. We are now. I wish we could all just spend 5 minutes, even 1 minute, just contemplating on that statement. Intensely. We are now the sons of God. It's nothing future. We're now the sons of God. Okay? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know how this is going to fold out in the end, but we know we're now the sons of God. So that's a good starting point, don't you think? I'm now the son of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear... Wow, this is a good one. We shall be like him. Why? Because we're now the sons of God. For we shall see him as he is. Ponder that one for a while. We'll see him as he is. What do you mean see him as he is? You mean like all these phony pictures of him? No. Like what? We'll see him as he is. As he truly is. We'll see him in his entirety, without corruption. You know why we have to have an incorruptible body? We could not sustain seeing God in a corruptible body. Ask John, who fell down dead in Revelations when he seen Christ in his glorified body. We couldn't hold it in. We're going to see Christ as he truly is, in his entirety, in his fullness. And Proverbs said he was the Father's daily delight. Angels and cherubims worshiped him. Dwell on that one for a while. And verse 3 is where we'll end this little series. And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. If we understand these truths, we purify ourselves. What's that mean? We seek sanctification, cleansing. We seek to walk with Christ. 1 John chapter 3, first three verses got some amazing truths to them. If we could only comprehend them, they would change our life. Like anything in God's Word. But this passage of Scripture can be life-changing if we really grasp it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we shall know when he appears, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, to be like the precious Redeemer. This is my constant prayer. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Sons of God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Father, thy word not only declares unto us truths about yourself, but, Lord, truths about what's going on in this world and why the world responds the way it does towards believers. They don't know you. And because we're the sons of God, they knoweth us not. They don't understand us. They don't perceive us. But, oh, God, you do. And I thank you that we are now the sons of God. And though we don't quite understand fully everything, Lord, one day we will, because we will see you as you are. Lord, let this hope be in us in such a way that we want to purify ourselves even as you are pure. Father, forgive us where we've fallen short. Give us the grace and mercy, we pray, to draw nigh to thee. And like we sung before we preach the message, may we ever be near the cross. May we never leave its side. May it always overshadow us, so that we might be constantly reminded of the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Thank you, dear God, for all you've given us. Bless now this day, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. We'll have our Lord's Supper next week when all more people are here. I know they want to be here too, so next week we'll have it. Thank you, sir, for coming. We appreciate you. And I hope and pray you all have a good week. Lord bless you.